Good to be here this morning. Good to be here in Charleston Missionary Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother Gilbert, for inviting me. And it's such a blessing to be able to be here and letting me preach my burden and what I believe God laid on my heart to your congregation. So I just want to thank you for that. I also want to thank Brother Moses. And I have to check out those Ten Commandments in the car you talked about. You, but it was a great message this morning. It really helped me, honestly. Wanted to grow more, and everybody can grow more. Everybody can have more of an opportunity to get better and increase and get more close to God and get more serious about what God has for you. And that's something that definitely helped me this morning. So thank you very much. And thank you, Brother Gentry, for the great testimony and the thoughts you gave about giving and being a generous person and helping with those ministries. And thank you for the fight you've been fighting in Africa for the Lord and the work and the labor that's not in vain. It's such a blessing to be able to have people we can look up to that are doing their work and they're faithful and in it for the long haul and running their race like Brother Gilbert and Brother Gentry. And I don't want that to be something that stops with them. I want it to be something that we take with us to this next generation. I'm 21 years old and I don't think of myself as anything special. I don't think of myself as anything, you know, great. I'm just a young kid that's serious and wants to be more serious about God and His work. And I want to be in this for the long haul. I want to be in this for a long time, be faithful. I want to be serious about whatever God has me. Wherever He leads, I will follow. Whatever He wants me to do, I want to do. And I've never been a perfect person. I mean, my fiance Kenzie can tell you that. But it's great to be here and be able to be in this time where we can share what God laid on our hearts and be able to try and share my burden with you all. So turn your Bibles, if you would. I'll preach short. I don't know. I'll preach whatever God wants me to. If He wants me to preach long, then you're stuck. But if He wants me to preach short, then I'll keep it short and sweet. But I just want to meet with God this morning, and that's what we should go into church thinking. We should go into not worry about when are we done, when can we go to lunch. And I know that's probably a struggle for you because it is for me. Amen. But we got to put down those desires and think about when we're coming to church. Are we here to meet with God? Are we here to learn about God? Are we here to worship God? Because that's what church is all about. If you're coming to church for any other reason, if you're coming to church to get in, to get out, if you're coming to church just to keep up appearances and make sure, you know, you're not seen and not missed at all, you know. And it's great to be here to fellowship with one another. And it's great to be here to, you know, make people encouraged and things like that. Those are great. But the reason we should go to church more than anything else is to meet with God. You know, you can meet with God on your own, and you should every day in the Word, like Brother Moses talked about. You should meet with Him every morning. But there's something about coming to church. It's the way God designed it, where we ought to be in church every time the doors are open. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, midweek service, whatever. Special services, anything going on, we ought to be in church. Now, that's not part of my message. I just felt like saying that. So, amen. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 9. John chapter 9, if you would. Again, I'll try and follow whatever God leads, but I am aware of the time right now, so I'll try and be aware of that as well. And we'll see if we can hear what God has for us. If you would, stand with me as we read. I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. Then I'll pray and we'll get into the message. So we're going to read responsively. I'll read verse 1 and then you read verse 2 with me, and then we'll finish out and you read verse 3 with me as well. So I'll read verse 1 and then you read with me. Verse 1 says, "And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth." And read the next two with me. "And His disciples asked Him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" And verse 3 altogether. "Jesus answered, 'Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for the great opportunity to preach and to stand behind a sacred desk and that I can tell your word and what you've laid on my heart, Lord. I pray you'd give me clarity of mind, clarity of thought. And help me to speak with authority and speak exactly what you want me to say and not to say anything you won't. God, help me to make manifest your works this morning as I preach. And I pray that I wouldn't have any part of me in this, that it'd be you speaking through me, Lord. I pray you just bless this morning, bless this great church. And I pray you'd help every one of them in anything going on in their lives, any aspect of their life they need help. And I pray that they get comfort this morning from this message. Bless the other preachers that are here, Brother Moses and Brother Gentry. Thank you for their work in Africa, Lord. Please bless them and continue to bless as this church is able to give. And bless all those that are getting saved and all the great work out there. God, bless this church. Bless me now as I preach. Hide me behind the cross and speak through me. Use me in a mighty way. Empty me of self. Cleanse me of sin and fill me with the Holy Spirit, Lord. We need you this morning. Without you, we'd just be meeting and it would be a waste of time. But we need to meet with you this morning. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. In John chapter 9, I was reading about how Jesus passed by. And he was going through with the disciples and walking around from city to city. He passed by a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples immediately assumed, he immediately assumed, Master, who did this sin? His man or his parents, that he was born blind? Anytime you see something wrong with someone like this, for instance, this man that's born blind, a lot of times, what do? We assume like, well, what do they do to get there? You know, we see people that are homeless and we say, man, I wonder what happened to them, what do they do wrong to get there? Or somebody that's going through something, some trial. You say, man, I wonder what they did to deserve that. You know, and that's sometimes our thought process. We have that thought process that you see somebody going through something and you automatically assume, oh, they must have messed up somewhere. They must have done something wrong. But, you know, there's sometimes God puts us through trials for certain reasons. He has a plan. And I don't know, maybe there's someone here this morning that's going through something. Maybe there's somebody that's some problem with their family or something going on at home, some health issue or some financial issue, emotional issue, some problem all over in their life. I don't know. I don't know what you're going through. But I know something, that whatever trial you have, God has a purpose. God has a plan for you. God has a reason. And I want to go through that this morning a little bit. It says, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I'm not going to preach long this morning, but I want to get home this point. The works of God being made manifest in him. And I want you to think of yourselves as this blind man, because we all have some sort of problem. None of us are perfect, amen? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone here is a sinner. If you just found that out now, then there you go. You're a sinner. And you say, I've never sinned before. Well, you just lied. So there you go. Now you're a sinner. Join the club. Amen. You know, you can have somebody that goes around saying, you know, I can't find a church. They all have a bunch of sinners in it. You know, if there's all a bunch of hypocrites and sinners, then you could tell them, well, hey, once you find your perfect church, you know, don't go there because you'll mess it up. It won't be perfect anymore when you get there, you know. Everyone's a sinner. Everyone has some kind of problem. Everyone has a sin issue. This man's issue was being blind from birth. And you know, when you're going through something, when you're going through your hard times or your trials, whether it's from a sin or whether it's just something that God laid on you to test you, there's a reason why he laid these on you, you know. And there's a reason why these trials are in your life. He's not just doing this just to make up excuses in your life, or he's not putting a trial for no reason. He's not doing something where he wonders how it's going to turn out. You know, God knows everything from the end to the beginning and beginning to end, and he knows the entire aspect of your life. He sees it. We see time where we see one point of time where we're at. We can't see the future, and we can't change the past. But God sees our whole lives, and he sees exactly what we're going to go through. He knows about the things you've been through. He knows what you're going to go through. Some of you say, I'm in a trial right now. God knows all about that. Some of you say, I'm doing great. I'm blessed. You say, I'm doing good financially. My family's great. We're going to church. We love the Lord. You know, maybe you're doing great now, but trials might come. And it's not because God hates you. It's not because you're doing, maybe even it's not because you're doing anything wrong. You may be doing everything right, and a trial might come. You know, it's not always something that you've done wrong when a trial's come. Sometimes people can put themselves through things. Sometimes people can put themselves in situations where they get punished or they get some kind of, you know, problem that they put on themselves. You ever been there? You know, you put some problem on yourself because of something you've done. But sometimes we're here and we're doing everything right. We got all our ducks in a row. We're coming to church. We're faithful. And then we go through something. And maybe that's you this morning. You say, I've been faithful to church. Why would God do this to me? Be careful not to get angry at God, because He has a reason. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for the trials. There's in that verse, it says that the works of God should be made manifest in Him. God has a work to do. God has a plan for each and every one of your lives. And some of you may say, I already know that. You know, I know God has a plan. I've heard that hundreds of times. But sometimes when we're going through trials, you know, we have to think back to that and remember and think about it. You know, God has a plan. Even though right now I can't make ends meet. Even though right now I'm going through this sickness. Even though right now I lost that loved one. Whatever it may be. God has a plan. God has a reason. There's some ways that God makes His works manifest. And you know, His work is something that He wants to do on earth, and He wants to do it through you. He could just, you know, make people saved automatically. He could do that if He wanted. He's God. He can do whatever He wants. But the way He works in our lives is using us to do His work. He asked us to go through all the world and preach the gospel in every creature. He could have just, you know, sent some angel and tell him. But you know what? He asked us. He wanted to use us. I hope you're being usable. I hope you're usable where if God came to you and said, I want to use you, that you wouldn't be someone that, you know, He can't use because of some problem in your life, some sin you're holding on to, or some, you know, the worst thing is being unwilling. God wants to use you, but are you willing? Are you able? God can use anyone except someone that's unwilling. God wants to use you. God wants to use your life for His work. He wants to make His work manifest in your life. Some of you say, well, I want God to work in my life. I want Him to make His manifested work in my life. I want Him to use me. Then don't be surprised when you're going through something in a trial. You say, God, I asked You to use me. What happened? Why am I going through this? You know something? Sometimes He's got to put us through something before we can be used the way He wants. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So what are these trials for? What are these things you're going through for? You say, you know, I don't understand, God. I gave You my life. I want You to use me. I'm willing. You're past that point where you're, you know, some people aren't willing and God wants to use them. Say, that's not me. I want to be used. But now all of a sudden you go through this trial. You're going through this hard time and you feel like God's left you alone. You know, God has a purpose for this trial. It says that trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. We all love gold. We love, all you ladies like your jewelry, your bling bling, you know what I'm talking about? You all love having all that. It's precious. You think of gold, it's a great commodity. It's something that everybody wants. Prices of gold are raised higher than ever. And you know, gold doesn't always, it doesn't start out. You don't dig it up and it's like, you know, a shiny ring or something that's already perfect and 24 karat and all that. Gold, it takes purifying for that use. It needs to be melted down so it can be molded into something to be used. And you're much like that. It says, you know, more precious than of gold, the trying of your faith. We all love having gold rings and gold necklaces, but you know, they didn't pull out of the ground a gold necklace. What had to be done? They had to put it through the fire. They had to melt it. They had to get it, turn up the heat a little bit. They had to burn away all the impurities. They had to put it through something to get it to where it can be used. We're a lot like that. When we're saved, we got some impurities. And you know what? A lot of times after we're saved, we get into impurities again. We still sin. We're still not perfect. Now, God's forgiven us, but in order to be used, we need to be changed a little bit. We need to be tried. We need to be tested. We need all those impurities burned away. We need all those problems to be taken away from that. Just like that gold, he's got to burn away the dross. And you know what? When you're going through a trial, you ought to thank God. You say, what? Thank God for a trial. That doesn't make any sense. Because you're going through the trial, and you think, this is crazy. I can't make it through this. Not only can you make it through with God's help, but when you make it through, you'll be better for it. When you go through something, he's burning and he's turning up that heat, and you hate it when you're in that trial, when you're in that testing, when you're in that temptation. But when you come out on that other side, you're going to thank God, saying, God, thank you for making me usable. There's a pastor in Connecticut. His name's Tom Bish, and I don't know if any of you heard of him, but he was a man, a good friend of my pastor's. I'm from Somerset, New Jersey, by the way. And she's from Aberdeen, my fiance. And we came down and got to preach here, so I'm thankful for that. But I'm from Somerset, New Jersey, and I know this preacher from Connecticut. His name's Tom Bish. And he's had health problems. You know, he was perfect health before he started this church some 30 years ago. And ever since he started this church, and he said, all right, God, I'm willing. Use me. Right after that, problems. He's been through health sicknesses, pneumonias, cancer. He lost a leg from the knee down. And his family's been going through things. And his health problems have always been there. But it's never shaken his faith, where he hasn't turned away and forsaken the work that he promised to God. He kept on. And he's not perfect, but he's a man of God that no matter what he goes through, he wants to still be used. Now recently, his wife just got diagnosed with an aggressive cancer as well. So now after, not only has he been through this cancer and he's lost a leg and he's going through sickness all the time, now his wife's gone through it. And she's in a cancer that the life expectancy is 14 months. And then she got diagnosed 7 months ago. So I would ask you to pray for them, the Bishes. And they're in Connecticut. But the point I'm trying to make with them is, it didn't matter how much they went through. It didn't matter how much they were tested. It didn't matter how much they had their problems and their issues. They stayed true. And they say, God is always good and God is always right. And that's a great way to live. You say, you know, the trials come, the storms come, cancer comes, problems come. But God is still good, and God is still right. And maybe you're here this morning. You say, I'm going through it. I got some problems. I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't deal with them. God will help you. Look to Jesus. Help comes from the Lord. Because God is always good, and God is always right. This reminder this morning of these people in Africa, that hunger and starvation and all these problems, we're blessed in America. Even at our worst day, we're blessed. Even if we had no more money, we had lost everything we had, we're still blessed. We're living in the greatest country on the face of the earth. I believe that. And you know, we have all these blessings that we take for granted. Clothes on our back, padded pews, a great church, God's house. You know, it doesn't just come out of nowhere. It's blessings from God. And you know, we all have these blessings. I pray we never take them for granted. But you know, when God starts taking away things, when we go through those trials, if your faith is deep and rooted in the Word of God and it's faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to get mad at God. Because all we deserve is hell anyway. Trials are just taking away a little bit of what He's already gave us. It's not ours. Our life isn't ours. We're bought with a price. If you're saved this morning and you want to be used, God might have to take you through something. You say, I'm already going through something. I got some problems in my life. I got some kind of sickness or whatever you're going through. I don't know. And that's between you and the Lord, and we'll pray for you if you ask it. But, you know, when you have trials, when you have something, hard times, no matter what it is, just remember God is always good and God is always right. And, you know, going through it now, you're probably thinking that you're not going to know how to make it. You're not going to know how you're going to get to that other side of the trial. But you know what? When you get there, and you'll get there eventually, trials don't last forever. God will give you grace to make it through. And when you make it on that other end, you'll be refined and pure as gold and usable. And you'll be able to be used way more than you were before. So you say, you know, I'm going through something. It may be hard now, but there's hope because there's God. You say, I don't know if I'm going through anything right now, but I want to be used. Well, be prepared. The trial is coming. I'm not saying that to scare you, but it's good. It's good to be tried. We don't like it when we're going through the fire, but when we come out, we're more usable and more able to be used of God. Throughout any trial, just remember the words, God is always good and God is always right. And He'll bless you for it. And He'll help you through it. And He'll use you more after it. And that's the way we ought to live about everything. God is always good. And God is always right. Don't matter the circumstances. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. Doesn't matter if you're eating dirt to feel full. Or if you're eating steak every weekend. God's still good. Now, that being said, we ought to lift others up that are going through trials. If you're the one not going through a trial, and there's somebody else hurting, you ought to be someone to help them. These people in these churches in Africa, you ought to lift them up. You ought to, you know, and it says preach the gospel into the whole world. You say, I can't get on a plane, but, you know, you can give to them and you can help them. And that's furthering you and the gospel from you just by that you've given to them. And it's something that's such a blessing, a great opportunity we get to give. We get to be a blessing. Not only that, there's people here in the hometown. The fight's coming to you. America is under attack from the devil, where all these other things going on, they're trying to turn people away from Christianity. People are trying to, by the thousands, leave church and leave what God has for them, leave their plan, and follow after worldly lust, follow after money, follow after fame, whatever they want. They don't want God anymore. You ought to be a light. You ought to be showing the love of God in your hometown, where you live, here in this church. He's doing His work in Africa, and that's great, and support Him. But let me say, this church needs to do their work here. You got to reach your Jerusalem before you can reach way out into the Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And reach both. Reach out there in Africa. Give. Continue to work and to give that money to help them. But you can't neglect what's going on right here. You can't neglect the front lines right in front of you. There's a fight right out those doors. And these people need Jesus. These people in this area need Jesus. People go through trials and they don't have God to turn to. They don't have that hope we have. You need to turn them to Jesus, even if they don't want to hear it at first. Just keep on. Keep on giving them the gospel. If you really believe what you say you believe, it'll move you to action. It'll move you to do what God wants you to do, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel in every creature. That includes Africa. That includes here. That includes wherever God leads you. We ought to do our part. We ought to do our part to help those that are going through trials here, but also do our part to help those that don't have any hope. Help those that aren't saved. Help those that aren't in need of, you know, they think they're not in need of God. They say all they need is money. It's such a shallow way to live. You ask any famous star or NBA player or NFL quarterback or whatever, you know, they always say, there must be something more. They have all the money. They got all the fame. They got great houses and families and all these things, but they still want more because they're missing God. They're missing that hope. When those trials come for them, they don't have hope like we do. We need to help and turn them to Jesus. Because it's His will that we preach unto everyone. If they don't listen, that's their fault. And you know, we ought to continue and fight to love them and to tell them the gospel and do our best to preach to them what God wants us to preach. But ultimately, it's their decision. And ultimately, it's your decision. God wants to use you. God wants to see you do great things for His name. Number one, you got to be willing. Number two, you may have to go through some trials. And number three, you got to go. You got to preach the gospel. You got to do it. He'll equip you. He'll qualify you. He'll try you to make you usable. But you ought to want to be used. And you got to go. Anybody can give somebody a tract. Anybody can tell somebody about Jesus. Just tell them what God did for you. You got to. We need to. The world needs you. The world needs church and God for hope. They don't have anywhere to turn to. They try and turn to money, lets them down. Try and turn to fame, lets them down. People are depressed all over the world because they have nothing to turn to, when really what they need is God. And they need you to turn them that way. Remember that if you're going through something, God is always good and always right. And once you're usable, you got to go. You got to preach the gospel. And anybody can do it. You say, I'm not good enough. You can do it. God can use anyone that's willing. You got to be willing. You got to be ready. You got to be understanding what might come when you're willing. And you got to go. You got to do it. It's just got to be done. God wants to use you. Will you be usable? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning.